Tonight is a night for telling the stories. In fact, these whole 3 days that we enter now, we will come together to tell the stories of the greatest events in history. Tonight, we remember that Last Supper. Tomorrow, we will once again read the Passion and tell the story of Jesus' death. And finally, in the holy night of Easter, we will tell the story of God's creation of the world and his recreation in Jesus' resurrection. As often when families gather to tell the family stories, it's part of what makes you a family, to pass on what has been handed on to you. On this Holy Thursday night, we come together as the church to tell a couple very important stories. First, we begin to tell the story that the Jews were telling since the time of Moses, the story of the Passover. This story was handed on from the very first night of the Passover until this very day. It is the story of slavery and imprisonment of God's chosen people in Egypt and their liberation, their exodus into freedom. Before it was on this night that, if you remember, God had sent Moses to deliver God's people from slavery in Egypt at the hand of Pharaoh. And he had gone to Pharaoh many times with the message of God, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh had refused. And so God famously had to send 10 plagues to try to soften the hardened heart of Pharaoh, but to no avail. And so finally, on this night of the Passover, God sent the final and 10th plague, the death of the firstborn. God intended to send the angel of death through Egypt, and every firstborn of Egypt, every firstborn of the beasts in the fields, every firstborn of every family would die, except in the houses of the Israelites, where they would sacrifice a lamb and then take the blood of the lamb and smear it on the door of their house. And when the angel of death came and saw the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and lintel of their house, the angel of death would pass over their house and they would be safe. This is the story that we hear in our first reading. God gives his people specific instructions how to celebrate that first Passover. They are to celebrate it with their loins girt, sandals on their feet, their staff in hand. They are not to take time to bake bread, so they eat unleavened bread and bitter herbs to remind them of their slavery. And then he gives them the command to tell this story every year, forever. The next day, of course, Pharaoh decides not only to let them go, but he demands that they leave. The 10th plague has finally not softened his heart, but convinced him. And there we have that great exodus, leaving the slavery of Egypt behind and going forth into freedom. So the essential story of the Passover is that God chooses certain special people to be his own. On the night of the Passover, God came and with his mighty hand delivered his chosen people out of slavery of Egypt into the freedom of the promised land, this great exodus. And we remember that it's for no particular glory of their own that they were chosen. God simply chose, "You are my people." And he makes a covenant with them. Tonight, we tell that story because in a very real way for us tonight, 2,000 years later, on this Passover night, we too are spiritually Jewish. We tell that story because that's not the story of some other people. It's not the story of Jews long ago. It's our story. We left slavery in Egypt on that first Passover. We were led by God into freedom from slavery. And especially tonight, we tell this story of the Passover because that's the story that Jesus gathered to tell 2,000 years ago on this night. This first Holy Thursday night, Jesus gathered to fulfill the commandment that we read in our first reading, keep this as a perpetual memorial feast. Indeed, the whole purpose of the perpetual memorial of the Passover was, in fact, to prepare for what Jesus would do on that special Passover night that we know tonight as the Last Supper. Jesus, on that night, goes to celebrate the Passover, and he gives the old story a new story. He says that this old covenant, now I make with you a new covenant. There's only two times in Scripture where we hear of this new covenant. In the prophet, in the Old Testament, it is foretold that one day someone will come, the Messiah, and he will establish a new covenant. We never hear those words again until tonight. As we hear the Eucharistic prayer celebrated, we know that Jesus establishes the new covenant. And a new story begins, but it's not a new story. It's the same story, the story of Passover, of God choosing certain people for the outpouring of his grace and leading them from slavery to freedom. That's the same story we celebrate tonight. For on that night, 2,000 years ago, Jesus did as Paul tells us in our second reading. He says, I'm handing on to you what was handed on to me. Paul is telling us the story tonight of how Jesus on that Passover night took the bread of the Passover, the wine of the Passover, and did something new. He said of those Passover gifts on that night, this is my body, this is my blood. And with those words, he instituted the beautiful sacrament of the Eucharist that we celebrate tonight. He also instituted the gift of the priesthood. As he told his apostles there, now you do this. And he also gave us the beautiful example of love, the new commandment to love one another as he has loved us. And tonight, he gives us that beautiful example of love through the symbolic washing of the feet of his apostles. That's the story that we come to celebrate tonight, the story of that first Holy Thursday. But just as is true with the Passover, the Jews today believe when they celebrate the Passover meal, that past event is actually made present. It's not just a recalling in the mind. Rather, as we gather tonight on a Holy Thursday in this little church here, in a very real way, that first Last Supper 2,000 years ago is made present for us. We do not just think about it in our minds. We are not just play acting tonight. For indeed, the story that we tell tonight is not just a true story, but it is a story that happens for us right now in time. It's a strange thing because for us who live in time, we normally experience things from the beginning, one event after another to the end. But with God, all time is present. He is outside of time. He created time. So tonight, that one event 2,000 years ago, the event of the Passover, those events, those stories come alive for us tonight as we do our part. In a very real way, we are there in the upper room with Jesus tonight. This is not a reenactment of Jesus being made present in the Eucharist. The real gift of the Eucharist is given to us tonight through the real gift of the priesthood made present here. This is the real Jesus, not bread and wine, a mere symbol of what Jesus did a long, long time ago, but something that God does right now for us. So this is a story that is not only true, but it's powerful. And that's why the first words of the Mass tonight from the introit are St. Paul's words to the Galatians, saying that we should glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he is our salvation, our life and resurrection. Through him we are saved and delivered. We should glory in the cross. That's the first words of Mass tonight. Why? Why glory in the cross. It seems a strange thing in which to glory. Why not glory in the resurrection? It's because we know the whole story. This story that we're in. Yes, we know tonight that we will leave this place in a somber silence, knowing Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He enters his passion. We know full well everything that we'll celebrate tomorrow. Jesus' death for us. And yes, we know where we wind up in the night of Holy Saturday. We know that story. But just as the stories of Passover and the Last Supper are very much present and we are part of them, the story of the cross is also a story in which we live. It is not just the story of what Jesus did one Holy Week 2,000 years ago. We too live that story. And all of us here tonight, in many ways, know the cross. We perhaps know that better than anything. We experience very much the struggles and sufferings in our life. All of us sitting here tonight probably have many things for which we question God. We wonder, why did this happen? Why does God allow this? Why this suffering? And yet we hear Paul tell us, as we take up our cross, that we should glory in the cross. Why? Because we know the story. We know that even though we are in the midst of suffering and struggle and difficulty and we take up our cross, we know where this story ends. As surely as it did for Jesus, it does for us. To some extent, it's easy to come and celebrate the mysteries of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That story has happened. We know Jesus rises from the dead. We don't have to pretend tonight that we go to the Garden of Gethsemane and we don't know what will happen. We do not have to mourn with unconquerable grief tomorrow on Good Friday thinking that Jesus is dead and we don't know what will happen. We know the end of that story. Passion, death, and resurrection. Tonight, though, we hear Paul ask us, in the midst of the very real story that we're in, do we trust the end of our story? We haven't lived it yet. Maybe resurrection has not come for us in the sufferings that we're in. Maybe as we go through this valley of tears in this world, we very much long for heaven. We long for the happy end of the story that isn't quite there yet. Can we still, in the midst of the story, draw strength from these other true stories? The truth of delivery from slavery in Egypt to freedom. The truth of Jesus' giving us his body and blood so that he would be with us forever. Those stories are true. We know how they end. Can we trust how our story ends, even though perhaps we don't see it right now? That's ultimately why we have these other stories tonight. That's why we tell the stories at the Easter Vigil. Tonight is a night for telling stories. True stories of the past that are made present. But I think most of all, to tell the story of where we are at right now. One that is incomplete. It's in the middle. But we have the beautiful gift tonight of the Eucharist, the priesthood, and Jesus' commandment of love to help us see the beautiful conclusion of our story. And so indeed, we should glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is our salvation, our life, and resurrection. Through him, we are saved and delivered. That's our story. I think we need to tell it tonight and trust that this story has a beautiful end for us. The cross of the Lord leads to life and resurrection. What a beautiful story.